A screaming comes across the sky. It has happened before, but there's nothing to compare it to now. It's too late. The evacuation still proceeds, but it's all theater.
Welcome to Between the Covers, a weekly KABU program all about books and the people who write them. I'm your host this week, Ken Jones. On today's show, our guest is Max Nemtsov, a writer, translator, and editor based in Moscow. That's Russia, not Idaho. Max's translation credits include a long list of great American post-war writers, including Jack Kerouac, William Burroughs, Charles Bukowski, J.D. Salinger, Ken Kesey, Richard Brautigan, Don DeLillo, Paul Auster, and Thomas Pynchon. He's also translated works by Bob Dylan, Leonard Cohen, and Jim Morrison, along with many more 20th century and contemporary English language writers. Max's experience outside of translation includes work in radio, journalism, publishing, and film. He co-wrote the script for the Russian film Subs, based on Jack Kerouac's novel The Subterraneans, which was winner of the grand prize at the Kiev International Film Festival in 1995. I came across Max and his work when searching for a Russian edition of Pynchon's Gravity's Rainbow, which Max translated with his colleague Anastasia Grusnova. Gravity's Rainbow happens to be my very favorite book, and I can't imagine a more difficult English-language novel to translate this side of Finnegan's Wake. In addition to Gravity's Rainbow, Max has translated four more Pynchon novels, V, Vineland, Inherent Vice, and Bleeding Edge. I'm thrilled to talk with Max today about his work, the art of translation, the place of American literature in Russian culture, and especially about Pynchon and Gravity's Rainbow. Max joins us today via Skype from his office in Moscow. Max Nemtsov, thanks very much for being here on KABU.
Thank you. Thank you for having me, Ken. Good afternoon to everybody. I mean, good evening in Moscow, but still.
Yes, and late morning here. But Max, first thing, it was your birthday just a few days ago. So, Sadom Rashtinya.
Thank you very much.
I hope I didn't murder that phrase too much.
That sounded perfect.
Oh, my. Thank you. Max, you started your career as an editor and publisher, covering rock music and contemporary culture. Can you tell us a little about your early work?
Well, yes. It's been a long life. Jesus. last year, I suddenly found out that I started to translate books like 30 years ago. And a little bit before that time, actually. But I was into, you know, lyrics of rock songs because I wanted my friends to know what they... what Richard Blackmore's band Rainbow sings about, for example. And in 1986, I translated my first prose work, which happened to be Tarantula, but by Bob Dylan. At that time, I was working for the Far Eastern Shipping Company and sailing with tourists and passengers all over the Far East and the Southern Pacific. And then after several years spent at sea, I just went ashore and stayed there. 2001, I moved to Moscow, where I had more opportunity to work as a literary translator and editor, and have been here ever since that time.
How did you go from translating the rock lyrics and even Bob Dylan's book, Tarantula, to translating what I consider more traditional English language novels, like the Kerouacs and the Burroughs and the Richard Brautigans?
Well, actually, I started doing that because, like I said, I wanted to share the books with my friends who didn't know English, and the books that had no chance of being published in the Soviet Union at that time. So what I did, I just translated them in my spare time, doing other things, earning my bread, sometimes without butter, typing them up on a manual typewriter, like 7 copies at one go, and giving them out. That's basically what I wanted to do. And then it's slowly but, you know, surely became possible to do things with the real publishers, quote unquote. And I've been always interested in postmodern literature, and, well, even Kerouac is postmodern to my taste. So it was a shift from those experimental texts to the more mainstream ones, so to say. That was painful sometimes. But otherwise, it's just the books and authors I loved and still love, and I don't have any, you know, problem with that. What I don't do like real commercial literature. That would be even more painful than the shift from experimental text to, you know, to the more mainstream ones. But otherwise, I think my integrity is intact.
Oh, Max, you mentioned that these books that you enjoyed so much and translated for your friends had no chance of being translated into Russian at the time. But now your translations are widely published in Russia and available. What changed there?
Not translated. They didn't have a chance of not being translated into Russian. Anyone could do that privately, you know. But even with the strange, you know, copyright situation the Soviet Union had always been in. But they didn't have a chance of being published, of reaching a wider audience. Now, for the last, I don't know, I've been doing that professionally for the last 15 years or so. So now we have, we almost don't have any censorship. And the only thing that dictates publishers what to publish is the market. And when I said that we almost have no censorship now in the country, which is, well, the almost is the key word, because in the last years we found out suddenly that we have censorship. But still, so far it doesn't concern more or less the works I do and the publishers I work with. Which is a happy, you know, happy. I have that happy opportunity of working with good publishers and doing good books. I heard that other translators were less lucky in this regard, and their works had been censored by someone, but not in my case. So this is the only difference between the Soviet times and the present time. Of course, the market is freer now, and publishers have that chance of doing what they see fit to publish.
The writers that you started publishing or started translating, and actually some of the ones you still translate their books today, Kerouac, Burroughs, Bukowski, Brodigan, especially Kerouac, including you know, On the Road, which you've translated, a very influential book in the U.S. especially. These writers spring from a beat sensibility of the U.S. in the 50s and 60s, which was a rebellion of sorts against the conformity of post-World War II American
That's right.
culture.
Yeah, yeah.
I wondered, is that something you and other Russians of your generation could identify with?
Well, Kerouac is a special case because I started reading him and trying to translate his works when I was, well, in my 20s. Now I believe that this is the best time for reading Jack Kerouac when you're in your 20s. Of course, his drive to freedom, including the freedom of expression, of course, was very infectious. And that's what we needed in the 1980s. I'm not sure about what they needed before, you know, my time, so to say. But here is a fun fact about Jack Kerouac being published in the Soviet Union. His first translation in the Soviet Union was published in, I believe, 1966. Three short extracts from On the Road, including that episode when they, if you remember the book, when they travel through Mexico, smoking dope and seeing those, you know, Old Testament shepherds around them and visions of the saints and stuff like that. They published the book, those extracts in the influential literary magazine called Foreign Literature. But they, amazingly, they left all the mentions of grass, dope, tea intact. What they scratched out was a biblical allusions from the text. So we don't have, in the first Jack Kerouac translation, we didn't have those Old Testament shepherds around them.
Oh, so the censors...
They still smoked dope.
They were more worried about religion than drugs, I guess.
Yes, yes. At present, they would probably scratch out dope and leave the biblical allusions.
Because the country's...
This is one of those tricks of censorship we have in Russia now.
I'd like, Max, to get to your translation of Gravity's Rainbow, which just absolutely amazes me. It was your first translation of a Pynchon novel, and you went on to translate four more, and there might be more in the works. Why did you pick such an absolutely difficult book to start with? Why not something much shorter and easier, like a Vineland or Crying of Lot 49?
Crying of the Lot 49 was published at that time, and V was out in two or even three versions in the late 1990s. And when my friend Nastya Grizunova and myself worked for Exmo at that time, many years ago, friends of ours who worked for a different department suggested that we do the translation of the novel that was believed to be untranslatable from English. So we took the challenge, and that was it. The only thing I'm sorry about is that it took us almost 5 years to complete the translation, but we had some, you know, extra, as I call it, extra textual. We had a kind of difficult situation with the publisher, so we had to stop working on the translation, wait for some time, and see what happens with the publisher. When the problems were sorted out, we continued, and in the 2012, the translation was published. And that is the only regret I have, that we could have done it like faster, and the book could have been published maybe 2 or 3 years before it was published. As for my personal acquaintance with Thomas Pynchon, I read him, of course, when I was in university in Vladivostok. I don't think that I understood him very, very well. Probably I wasn't ripe for that. I don't know. I wasn't mature enough. But with this take on him, I absolutely believe that he's a genius, and I'm honored and happy to live at the same time on the same planet with him.
You're listening to Between the Covers on KBOO Community Radio. On today's show, we're talking with Max Nemtsov, Moscow-based writer, editor, and translator of many contemporary American works, including Thomas Pynchon's Gravity's Rainbow. For those who don't know about Gravity's Rainbow, it's a very long book. It's about 800 pages in English. Very complex. There's over 400 characters, and it touches on almost every body of knowledge in excruciating detail at times: technology, physics, math, chemistry, history, economics, linguistics, art, music, psychology, sex, movies, even comic books. I've read the novel several times, as I'm sure you have, Max, and there's still passages I enjoy but don't really understand. And I think Pynchon himself said something similar about parts of the book. He doesn't even remember writing them. How do you approach the translation of such a difficult work where there are passages in there that just seem to be beautiful but very difficult to comprehend?
Do you need a long version or a short version?
Oh, whatever you'd like.
Methodically. From the start, we decided not to stray from the text, not to stick to principles of the so-called Soviet school of translation, which was aimed at bringing the author to the reader. Basically, there are two approaches to translation of fiction. One is called domesticating, and another is called foreignizing. Nothing new has ever been invented regarding the approaches to translation. So we definitely stuck to foreignizing translation. We didn't bring the author to readers, making his work more accessible, but we rather chose to bring readers to the author by sticking to his style, to his syntax, to his punctuation, even not explaining in the text what a thing was, something is, or, you know, chewing it out for readers to make the text more accessible. But we decided to stick to the author, to be faithful to the author. And, of course, I have another regret that we weren't commissioned the footnotes or the explanation notes for that book, because it's a different kind of work than translating that. Our task, as we saw it at that time, was to be as faithful to the text, to the original text as possible, and to make everything right there. I do hope we succeeded in that, although there may be different opinions. But the book in Russian still needs that encyclopedic footnotes apparatus, like companion, like the book has it in English.
There's no Russian language translation, no. Say, of the book you mentioned, Gravity's Rainbow Companion by Steven Weissenberger. There's online wiki, yeah. Gravity's Rainbow, yes. Readers Wiki.
Yeah. Yeah. But the Russian audience need a little bit more explaining than the English language audience has. So when we tried to figure it out, we saw that the companion book would be almost as thick as the original, if not thicker. And the publisher decided rather not commission this work to us. So we left our readers face-to-face with the book, approximately in the same situation the first English-language readers found themselves when the book was out in 1974. So I think that our little experiment was more or less successful. You know, Russian audience received the book as the English language audience received that book 40 years ago. And as for the methods, well, that's how we did it.
Again, the complexity of the book, but not just the themes and the number of characters, but Pynchon plays around quite a bit in the book. There's a lot of puns, some fairly low level, a number of song lyrics in there, lots of wordplay. In fact, there's a Russian psychologist named Dr. Porkyevich, which I think is a play on Porky Pig, and Pynchon's seems to be obsessed with pigs in the book. How did you treat these parts of the book, the song lyrics, the puns, the character names?
Well, we had, as we call it, instruments of translation. There are quite a few. So as for puns, we had sometimes to... Some of his puns are pretty easily translatable because they're based on, you know, human follies or human nature, which are universal. But others we had to deconstruct, take apart, see what they consist of, and put them back together only in Russian. So some of the puns are not exact translations of his puns, of course. And we decided that to make it a little bit clearer to the Russian audience, we need to play on his names and last names, make them more transparent if we can. You mentioned Dr. Porkyevich in Russian. He's Dr. Svinyevich.
Oh, a swine?
Which is basically the same.
What about the song lyrics, Max? Do your song lyrics song rhyme?
Well, we did that. I mean, let's say, all of them, as far as I can see, and as far as I can remember, all of them exist to their tunes. Some of the tunes are pretty well known or understandable, what tunes and what songs Pynchon based his hilarious, sarcastic, and etc. lyrics. Some of them are written entirely on his own tunes that played in his head. Sometimes it's possible to reconstruct it. So we stuck to his song structures, and if anyone wishes to sing them in Russian, I know they're sung in English, but if anyone wants to sing them in Russian, they could, with almost no, you know, loss of meaning. I'm kind of proud to say, because well, it's one of those, you know, things that, like, bragging right for translators, if they can make equilinear and equirhythmal translation of a song lyric.
We touched briefly on censorship previously, kind of the change in censorship from religion to drugs and all that. Gravity's Rainbow has some extremely graphic sexual passages, some about incest, pedophilia, coprophilia, which is a very memorable scene in the book. Did you have any problems with censorship in the Russian edition of some of these scenes?
No, because at that time when the book was out for the first time, the censorship was not as heavy as it is now. I don't believe that we have even the, you know, rating on the first edition. No, I don't see it. The second edition probably had the mark of 18 plus, like suggested for reading for persons 18 years old and older. At that time, those 4 or 5 years ago, we didn't have that problem. And now the book is not, sadly, is not reissued, republished, so we don't have the problem at all, so to say. And the point was that the publisher does the edition exactly as it is, without any interference in the text. Like, sometimes publishers, you know, just blot out offensive words or make authors rephrase something or stuff like that. No, we didn't have that at all. So it was published as it was translated, after the editing, of course.
And you mentioned it's not in print now. Is that because it wasn't selling well, or will it come back in print? I know you mentioned there's two editions.
Yes, only two. Of course it doesn't sell well. It's slightly, understatement of the night probably, slightly above the average level of Russian readership. I mean, Russian readership is great, it's fantastic. People love to read, and they still do, and they buy books, but not exactly these kinds of books, and not exactly in the quantities the publisher would like them to buy. So for the publisher, probably, well, the publisher probably is not losing money on Thomas Pynchon, but he's not, I don't know, Haruki Murakami. That's understandable. It's a literature for a very well prepared reader, and as anywhere, they are only a few of those ideal readers, as we call them.
I think that's true in the U.S. as it is in Russia. Now, Max, you've translated 5 of Pynchon's novels, and we mentioned those, including Gravity's Rainbow. Are you planning to translate any more of his work? He's got 2 more big books, Mason and Dixon and Against the Day, that I don't think have been translated into Russian yet.
I really don't know. Oh, and short stories, too.
Oh, yeah. Yes, Slow Learner.
Yes, I really don't know, because I'm I work on like commission, and if a publisher wants to do that, and if a publisher wants to hire me for the job, I will do that gladly. But the thing is, I don't know what the publisher wants to do.
I have one question, which I think I know the answer to, but when you were stuck or had any questions during the translation of Gravity's Rainbow, was Thomas Pynchon available to answer any of your queries?
No.
Oh, so there was no contact with Pynchon or his American publisher?
No.
I guess. Oh.
No, he doesn't.
That's what
although
I expected.
I have, I had very, very much support from the group of Pynchonites that support since, I don't quite remember when it started, late 1980s probably, the Pynchon list, the mailing list, people subscribe to discuss Thomas Pynchon's work. And I had a lot of support from them. And there was one person, sadly I am still subscribed to the list, and sadly I don't see him very often there, almost not at all. And he was especially helpful in answering some of my questions. We decided that we need to thank him especially in the book. If you open the book on the last page, there it is in English.
Is that Charles Hollander?
That's right, yeah.
Oh, okay, I have the book sometime right here.
No, I don't believe that's his real name. And he sounded in his letters, he sounded quite old, older than me. So I had my, you know, creeping suspicion.
Yes.
Might be the author taking part in the, you know, online community life where they discuss his work. But it's only a creeping suspicion. I don't have any proof of that, of course. And we haven't been in touch ever since that time. I'm sorry to say.
Oh, Max, I have one last question. We've been talking a lot about Pynchon, of course, and other English language writers that you've translated. Do you have any recommendations for our listeners for contemporary Russian writers and books that a Pynchon fan or a Kerouac or a Bukowski fan might be interested in?
This is kind of hard because I'm not exactly sure whose work is translated into English. I am sure, though, that the works by Vladimir Sorokin might suggest something in the Pynchon vein to the readers. And another book that should be published in English probably this year was written by Maryam Petrosyan, the Russian lady author from Yerevan, Armenia. The book is called The House in Which, I believe. I know that it had been translated by Andrew Bromfield, one of the best Russian to English literary translators, but I'm not sure when it's going to be published. And this is like a Pynchon light, but still very Pynchonian book on entirely different set of ideas and premises, but still the readers might enjoy that too. And Vladimir Sorokin.
Oh, well, Max Nemtsov, thanks very much for joining us today on Between the Covers. Spasiba.
It was entirely my pleasure. Thank you very much.
We've been talking with Max Nemtsov, Moscow-based writer, editor, and translator of many contemporary American works, including Thomas Pynchon's Gravity's Rainbow. I'm Ken Jones, and this has been Between the Covers on KBOO Community Radio. Many thanks to Max for visiting us at KBOO, and to all of you for listening.
Follow the bouncing ball. There is a hand to turn the time, though thy glass today be run, till the light that hath brought the towers low find the last poor preterite one. Till the riders sleep by every road, all through our crippled zone, with a face on every mountainside, and a soul in every stone. Now, everybody,